Hello and welcome to the Borrowed Time Companion Podcast. What is a companion podcast, you might ask? Well, this is where I wanted to be able to take some time out and talk a little bit about the podcast and not do it necessarily in the podcast episodes. You know, that is so that I can keep the podcast episodes nice and clean and not have any extraneous chit-chat. Well, okay. I'll come clean. You know, I have to have the podcast episodes clean for audiobooks because this is also being released on audiobooks. And I'm lazy. You know, why have two different copies of it? One's that's got me doing any jibber jab afterwards and one that doesn't. So I figured I would steal an idea from Christiana Ellis, podcaster extraordinaire, and do a companion podcast where I can just kind of do a little meta commentary and have that be separate from the normal podcast feed. So you'll notice we have different music. We don't have the normal music of The Hunt by A Big Guitar, which is great stuff. I love that track. But instead, we've got Insane by Chinese Fire Drill. That is going to be the music of the Borrowed Time Companion Podcast. So when you hear that, you know two things. Number one, you get to hear me ramble. And number two, there'll be no story. So I've listened to podcasts before that have done this, and they use the same theme music, and then you know, you get into it, and it's like, oh, psych, there's no story today. Well, I didn't want to do that. I'm too nice a guy for that, to psych you out. So when you hear that music, you will know it's time for a companion podcast episode. So that's what's going on here. Today's podcast will take place in two parts, non-spoiler stuff and spoiler stuff. So I will let you know when we get to the spoiler stuff, but you know, this episode is being released the same day as episodes 1 through 5. That's right, launch day, July 15th, and I can't tell you how geeked I am to finally have this done and out there so that you can hear it. So I'm really pleased. So but this commentary is going to cover bits and pieces of episodes 1 through 5. So there will be spoilers. I will warn you when we get there. But there will be spoilers. So if you don't want to be spoiled, you probably want to go back and listen to episodes 1 through 5 before listening to this. So, but on my non-spoiler things, you know, I kind of feel like this is when you go to a rock concert and you buy the program, they always, you got the musicians and they say, I'm using the X, you know, the Gibson whatever guitar and the, you know, the whatever composite drumsticks and yada yada yada, and here's all the stuff I use. So I thought I'd kind of do similar here. You know, Borrowed Time was written on a Palm Z22 PDA, which is a pretty small little PDA, but I like it because it's portable. Quite a bit of this audiobook was written on the PDA with my little wireless keyboard sitting at lunch at Taco Bell. So I would like to directly thank Taco Bell for Borrowed Time, because they helped make it happen. And about the only thing I can say about that is fire sauce rocks. Go fire sauce. Anyway, I wrote this over about a 4 or 5 year period, pretty much finishing up in 2008, and then edits went a little bit into 2009. But you know, so I probably started around 2004. I didn't document this for posterity, really, as far as, you know, when I started it. So I'm a little fuzzy on that, because even I'm like, when did I start this thing? But I think it was about 4 or 5 years, because I would work on it in fits and starts. It was not written in order. Kind of your typical novel thing. You start at the beginning, and you write it, and you write to the end. This was written more like a movie. In fact, I envision it more like a movie. When I was writing it, I didn't call them chapters. I called them scenes. And then when I started actually putting it together, I thought, okay, scenes or chapters, because they were long enough, barely, but they were long enough. So I kind of jumped around, and I do whatever scene I felt like writing at the time. So that caused some continuity. Fun, I tell you, you know, don't do that on a time travel novel. I'm just saying, because you're bopping around time, and then you're bopping around scenes, and, you know, like writing scenes 4 years apart, it's can be fun. So that's kind of the non-spoiler commentary. So there be spoilers ahead from this point forward. Once again, this is covering episodes 1 through 5, And I'm not necessarily going to have something to say about every episode, but I am going to be discussing things that happen in the episode. So if you don't want to be spoiled, stop this now. Go listen to them. Otherwise, I'm going to spoil you a little, like right now. So are you ready? Ready to be spoiled? Okay. So episode one, the very first episode, we meet Dr. Francis Bertrand. And what is of interest about the prologue is that it is the last scene that was written, which I find kind of ironic that the first thing you hear is the last thing I wrote on Borrowed Time. I actually, Borrowed Time went through about 7 rounds of edits, and I think I wrote the prologue on like round 6 or 7 of that. So that was, you know, literally the last thing that was, you know, written as far as any major, a scene slash chapter kind of content. And then we start to meet the people at IntelliSys Research. We meet Paul Robbins and John Felch, who are kind of the executives there. And we meet Glenn. And we're going to see a lot of Glenn, as we see in these first 5 chapters. In fact, a lot of them is dealing with Glenn. But he's the bad guy. You know, he's not the main character. And we meet the main character being Ness Relevant in scene 2. And, you know, Ness is not me. I do want to say that. Ness is based on a guy I worked with. Because I was working with this guy, and he just had this attitude about women. He'd been burned a few times too many, and he was done. He wasn't going to get married. He didn't want any permanent relationships. He was just backing away. And I just found that kind of a fascinating viewpoint to have, to say, you know what, I am done with relationships. Not going to have any more. And especially in a guy, I don't know, just the way he did it, I thought it sounded of interest to me. It was about the time I was conceiving of this. Now, Ness is different from him in that he turned into kind of a real love him and leave him Casanova, and I did not want that for Ness, because I didn't want him to be a bit of a jerk. And so I changed Ness, where he's having the same issue as we saw in episode 2, but he's just kind of like, you know, he'll go out on a date for companionship, have some fun, see a movie, whatever, but if it turns serious, he's like walking away. So, you know, Ness does have some of my character traits. You know, I tend to talk to myself a lot. I wonder if podcasters all tend to talk to themselves a lot. That's an interesting thought, but I do tend to talk to myself a lot, and so does Ness. Helpful because Ness is by himself a lot in this book, but so that's Ness Relevant, you know. And then he receives the PDA in episode 4 and goes on a little trip. And in chapter 9, he talks to himself. And this is a scene that caused this whole thing to come to be. I wanted to write something. I didn't know if it was going to be a short story or what. I had never really written anything of this length up to this point, and so I really hadn't thought about it. But I had this scene in my head of a man talking to his future self and getting assistance from his future self. And I thought, that sounds like a fun scene to write, because it's not something that's done a lot. You know, most places, you know, a lot of the time travel stuff you see out there, you know, though, it's always, you know, don't, like back, like in Back to the Future, don't let your future self see you. Don't interact with your future self. If your future self sees you, you know, the space-time continuum will implode. You know, they did a little bit in Time Cop, but I think about 12 people saw that movie. And I just kind of wanted to play with that a little bit. It sounded like fun to be able to have my character, you know, have a version 20 years from the future pop up and say, don't do this, it was a bad idea, and I can tell you because I'm screwed now. And for these, you know, to be able to shake hands with my future self, as we saw in the prologue, you know, does this matter? Why shouldn't you be able to shake hands or, you know, slap each other or, you know, do other things that we'll see coming up? Yeah, I'm not going to spoil you for future episodes, so sorry. But, you know, I wanted to be able to kind of play with that a little bit and say, okay, so what happens when selves from different times interact? Because I thought that was interesting. Yeah, I'm always a sucker for a time travel story, and whenever you can do something different with it, I really find that interesting. And I like sitting around and talking temporal mechanics and doing that kind of thing. But so that was really kind of what, you know, I had this image of this guy that turned out to be Ness talking to himself, talking to his future self, or talking to his past self, depending upon which side of the fence you're on. And I thought, that sounds interesting. How could I make this happen? And then what are they talking about? And that's what really got Borrowed Time rolling. Glenn, you know, we see a lot of Glenn in the first five episodes, and less of Ness. I'm probably not totally happy with that, just because Ness is the main character. In episode five, we start seeing the shift from Glenn as the focal point to Ness, and that will continue for the rest of the book. Ness is the focal point, but I kind of needed to do. I kind of needed to show what Glenn was, and Glenn's a scary guy. You know, he's really good at disguise, as we saw, and doing voices. I will say right now, before I get comments, Glenn is better at voices than I am. It was I wrote this, and I really hadn't. Podcasting was not really something I had in mind for this when I wrote it. And then when I decided to podcast it and got looking at it, I was like, oh my God, Glenn does a lot of voices. Ah! So I did the best I could with that. I do like doing voices, but the first time I've ever really recorded myself doing voices and trying to be consistent doing voices, and it was a bit more of a challenge than I really thought. You know, as much as I will walk around the house saying things in odd little voices, it was harder than I thought to consistently do dialogue in particular voices, and remember that Glenn sounded like this and Paul sounded like this, and especially when doing dialogue with, like, between Glenn and John, to be able to flip flop back and forth, you know, could be interesting. So then Glenn's a badass, as we see in episode five. He's able to single-handedly, without weapons, well, I guess he used both hands, but without weapons, with his bare hands, dispatch two Troy police officers before they could even get a gun drawn. So yeah, Glenn's a badass. Don't cross Glenn, man. But of course, what's Ness do? He's going to cross Glenn. We can see that. Glenn's already chasing him at the end of episode 5, and Ness is trying to get away. So I think there's going to be some conflict in the future between Ness and Glenn. You know, I don't think you're going to meet up at the bar or the mall and just have a couple beers or anything. So that's really all I have to say up to this point through episode 5. So the other thing that I hope to be doing in these companion podcasts is feedback. Now, obviously, since today is July 15th, the launch date for Borrowed Time, I don't have any, unless I was to make up some, but I'm not going to. But I don't have any feedback, but I would love to get some. So I have a number of ways that you can leave me some feedback. First and foremost, you can visit the website for Borrowed Time, which is, as you probably know if you're listening to this, penslinger.com. You can leave comments on the blog post there for the episodes. So that is one way. The other way is to email me. My email address is khughes@penslinger.com. And that would be a fantastic way. You can also leave me a voicemail. I have a voicemail line at 206-309-9171. Leave me a voicemail and I'll play it here on the podcast. And I'm on Twitter, using my ultra-secret web alias of Ed Gizmo. Just like it sounds. Ed and then a gizmo slapped together. Put that right after a www.twitter.com/. And there I am. Follow me. Leave me comments there. All would be appreciated, and I will leave them here. Also, you can see all this contact information at the penslinger.com website. If you scroll down a little bit off to the right, my other left, beneath the photo of me sitting there with my nice bald head at my computer, You got all the contact information. There's also a place where you can become a fan of the Borrowed Time Facebook group. Feel free to do that, please. So I think that's about it for companion episode number one. I've probably rambled on too long. So until next time, be seeing you.